Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. We're so grateful that everybody's sitting here with us, and it's been a lot of fun here because we've been meeting a lot more frequently, so we get to see each other a lot more, which has been awesome.
That's
feel like everybody out there hears us more often than we actually are together, since we do usually a few every night. So just trying to get everything ready so that we, for Leslie's busy season, so of church and everything that the holidays bring, and holiday season and here isn't any slower, but you still have you. I know the church demands a lot around the holidays.
All worth it.
It is always, because without
tell myself,
yeah, but without the stuff that you do and without the stuff that all the churches do around the area, it wouldn't be the same. And this is like, it's the whole point, you know, you're gonna see more people coming in, and you want to make sure that you're reaching all of them, and it's exactly, you know, you guys are doing
finding ways to connect. That's exactly
so I'm like yeah, it might not math for everybody out there that they hear us more often than we see each other, but it's accurate.
Yeah.
The math is correct.
Yep.
We have checked the work.
Let the record show.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is always good to get back together with you guys.
Amen.
That, and, you know, that makes it, it's a good girl time.
Mm-hmm. In the midst of all the stuff that you guys in Tennessee and everywhere else is going through.
Oh, gosh. Yes. I was grateful that Keisha made it home, because they made it home. They were gone.
In Florida.
Yeah.
So. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Well, we were already planning on coming up on Wednesday, so it worked out fine. And we didn't see any rain, not a raindrop, until we got to this side of Atlanta. So, but from Atlanta, home was pretty rough. Yeah, but, I mean, that was before the hurricane even hit. It was just,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you guys got quite a bit of rain up here.
We got
before that, right?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of rain. It was, power was going out. We had tornadoes, I think, the night before you guys got back.
Yeah.
We had tornado warnings all around our area. And then, it's been nuts. I mean, our area, we've all been blessed.
Yeah.
In this area, our power came back a lot faster than most.
Oh, yeah.
Some still don't have it.
Yeah.
And
our county was mostly just dealt with downed trees and electrical problems, so.
Yeah, and then just the surrounding ones, not so much.
It's, yeah.
But it is nice to see how everybody's pulling together and how everybody's trying to make sure that people are getting fed and watered, and, you know, because in Florida, this is something that you expect. You know, you expect to be without something for a little bit when a hurricane hits. You don't expect that when you're in East Tennessee or North Carolina, or, you know, and I know South Carolina got hit too. But mainly my news feed is all North Carolina and here, because that's where we travel. So all the areas that we travel in North Carolina, you know, I'm part of a lot of their pages, and I'm going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they got it. I mean, just...
And I have friends in Asheville who are still stuck in their home.
Yep.
Can't get out, and have nothing. I mean, literally have no food, no groceries, no gas, no anything to go anywhere. Mm. And then people in Florida, where that whole area we used to live in, Largo's fine, but all the beach area is decimated.
Gone. Yep. There, I saw pictures of Clearwater, and I'm going, like, I've been on that beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they showed Indian Rocks Beach on the news, and I'm like, sad.
It's scary. Scary to think about.
Oh, yeah. My parents, they live in the northern part of the Panhandle, and it looked like it was going to be a direct hit on them, but ended up going, I think, hitting like an hour or two east of hit Tallahassee, but it was an hour or two from them, and they didn't even lose electricity. So the hotel owner was telling my parents, hey, you know, you guys need to come up to our house. You sure you don't want to leave and just come on up to our house? And then we lost electricity for like 28 hours. My dad was like, you want to come back down to our house?
My nephew nephew's in Pensacola, and I asked him the day after. I said, hey, I'm sure you didn't get the direct hit, but did you get any rain or anything like that? And he sent me a picture of a twig in his backyard. He goes, we survived. I was like, glad you're alive, honey.
I had texted our friend Amanda, and I was like, you guys are leaving, right? Because I want to make sure that you guys aren't going to be sitting in there. And so, yeah, she said she had finally been able to convince everybody that they should probably not stay. And I think, I'm like, Florida State's closing.
Yeah.
You guys need to leave. Like, it's not. And so they did. They went to her in-law's house. You know, and then I texted her. I was like, how's your house? Have you seen your house? Like, do you know if anything happened? Because I'm not seeing what happened up in Tallahassee, because that's not a part of, like, where I was.
Yeah, Tallahassee just is the same as you guys, like what you said, trees and down and stuff like that, but not really any flooding. It's that hour, east of Tallahassee. Perry looks like Chimney Rock. Looks like, I mean, like, just decimated, gone, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of roads in North Carolina that are gone. There's people that can't get out because they can't, there's no way to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend last week and telling her to, instead of going into Gatlinburg through like Knoxville and stuff like that, I said, oh, you should go through Cherokee. This is like a week before it happened, right?
Yeah.
You should go through Cherokee and 40 and like, you see all these cute little towns like Mackey Valley and Chimney Rock and all these places. And then today I was like, no.
Yeah.
Can't get there.
The road is gone. You get it, but it's also just mind-boggling, the power of nature. So,
to see, we had three of the dams in our area that I think one failed and then the other two were holding, but they were not holding the water because they couldn't. It was overflowing.
Yeah,
it
was so much.
It went over it.
Yeah, so they thought the one failed, then it found out that it didn't fail, but it had flooded so much.
Yeah.
It's only built for so much water, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And these are dams that were built in, like, the early 1900s, so...
That have withstood a lot of things.
And it's just... I will be forever grateful that our area did not get hit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Even our power was only out for a couple hours. And I was, the only thing I was worried about was our sub pump. Like, we have enough water in this house. We have enough food in this house. Like, we can figure that bit out. But I'm worried about the fact that we have an extremely wet basement. Our sub pump, I think today has been the first day in over a week that it hasn't been going off every 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So I was worried for it being off. Like, I had just gotten my shoes on and was telling Mylan, get your shoes on. We're going down. I'm going to hold up, because you have to get to our basement from the outside. So I'm like, I'll hold up the storm door. I need you to go down there, because it was still windy. It was some of the gusts going through there. I thought for sure a chicken was going to be flying through the yard. And I said, I'll hold up the storm door. I need you to go down there, because I'm like, I'm not getting stuck down there. Thank you very much. So, but I'm like, if I hold it, you go and you tell me how deep it is. And right as we were getting our shoes on, did the power come back on? I'm like, okay, good. Then I'm watching all the water go out from our basement through the sub pump. And I'm like, oh gosh, because we have quail down there right now, like in a brooder. Oh. So it's like, please, Lord, tell me they weren't floating, because that was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
I waited. It seems like they'll be fine for at least like an hour or two. Like, it'll be fine. And so I waited. It was about right around 2 hours. And I looked, I was like, okay. I went down there and Mylan's like, yeah, it's like this deep. I'm like, okay. Are the birds okay? Like, is it wet in there? He's like, no, they're fine. He's like, good. Because they're kind of on the brooder's on the ground. And not exactly watertight.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's aluminum. So it's not like it's not heavy.
Just floating around.
Exactly. It's an old locker that we. Gilligan's Island all up in there, so like floating. So yeah, they were fine though. They're fine now. But we waited. They're good to go outside, but we've been waiting because, well, especially with the weather, like, hey, welcome to the real world. Let's go out here where you guys can just literally get blown away. You don't have to fly. You'll just get blown.
So. I'm glad your birds survived.
I literally was checking to make sure birds weren't flying through. Wizard of Oz was going by in my head. You know, we're in the Twister. We're watching these everything driving by. I've never seen wind that strong go through. And it was coming from a weird direction, too. Yeah. Like, our yard doesn't normally get hit from that direction. So I didn't know what was going to lift and what was going to...
It was strange, but I didn't even think about looking at our chickens. I just assumed they were okay.
They probably were in the coop. Ours are free range, and they have a spot to go. We have the availability, but some of our chickens aren't smart enough to get to that spot. So I was like, but I mean, they can go in our barn. So there is that. They can go in our barn. So they're, you know, mainly protected. And I was like, I all the doors were open so the goats could have gotten the barn. The only one that can't fit in the barn is our donkey. Like, she can't get in because we have just little doors, because if we let her in the whole barn, she'll eat all the chicken food. So she has other shelters. Like, she has like a lean-to that she can use, but I was looking out there, and she's just standing there underneath the tree, not even, you know, just not caring, letting it go. She's just like, all right, are we done yet? Well, back to the whole reason that we are here. Now that you guys all got to hear us all catch up, this is how we work. Sometimes you guys don't get to hear that we talk about this before.
It's been a little bit more exciting lately, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot more going on.
It's a lot different than my kids played soccer today.
Yeah. I had to force them outside to play soccer today because they haven't had school. They're not going to have school tomorrow either. I was like, go outside, please. It's not raining. Go outside.
Out of the house.
Trying to work. You guys do not need to be on your video games. I had technically taken my eldest off his video games this week because of his attitude working on the farm yesterday. But then when they called off school, I said, well, that's not going to work. I limited it today, but I was like, I'm not taking it all the way away. I won't survive. But we are gathered here today to talk about First Peter. Peter is somebody that I know everybody goes, oh, I love Paul. He's the best. He is so much. I love myself some Peter. Like, he is so real. And I feel like you can identify with him a lot because he's just what you see is what you're getting. He's not sugarcoated in the Gospels. He's real. Like, I loved, you know, when we talked about him in Acts, you know, and he was like, well, you guys killed the Messiah. Like, every time he was like, talking to people, he's like, well, you know, that guy that you killed, he's our savior. He's the reason that we're all gonna, you know. And he's one of those speak before he thinks.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. He's one that we
filter is loose.
Yeah. Yeah,
you always know a Peter.
Sometimes I am a Peter,
yes,
I think.
And me too.
And then I cringe about it for the rest of my life. But sometimes I am a Peter.
I don't want to admit it, but.
Right.
Oh, Peter.
I know. You know, I heard it and it makes sense because, you know, Peter's viewed a lot differently than a lot of the disciples because, he is who he is, and he was a blue collar worker, right? Like, he was a fisherman. He was a man of the world. He didn't have a hoity toity job. He was likely just educated enough to get by, you know. But, you know, a lot of it's judging. They judge by his Greek, right? Well, he wasn't Greek. So he wasn't his whole life. I don't think his parents were like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and make sure he's educated in Greek just in case he ends up being part walking with the Messiah and he's going to have to write a few gospels. Like, no, you know, he spoke Hebrew. He was Aramaic. Like, that's how he wrote very well in his language. But, you know, you have it, you hear it where, you know, Paul is like, you're talking like he's got his master's and his doctorate, right? And like in this day and age. And so the way he speaks is completely different, and the way he writes is completely different than Peter, who's basically, it looks like he's writing in level of a third grader, just if you're going to compare just the language. But what Peter always has to say is he nails it.
Yeah.
Peter is us.
He is us.
I mean, Peter is until we get to that place of maybe polishing it a little, but he is that everyday. I think of him as the head fisherman, even though I'm not saying he was a fisherman. I'm saying he's that guy that reminds me of that. Because he's like, yeah, here to go. You're going to get on the boat and go fishing, or what you going to do? Let's go. Like, I mean, it's just so matter of fact. So.
Yep. He's got passion. Like, you know, he's very passionate about everything. He is like that one friend that you can call no matter what, right? He's all in. He's there. He's going to do what needs to be done. So if you guys don't know, he is one of the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus. They considered, because of the way that when they list out the disciples, they considered Peter kind of the leader, because he's always listed first.
Yeah.
I always thought it was because that was succession. Like, because I feel like they were called first. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I could be completely off the... Well, I just always assumed it was because that was... They went in order of who came when. But I don't know that to be true.
Gotcha. That's what I always assumed too. To watch The Chosen.
that too. I have a hard time. I'm like, I should not be always thinking about, well, he was like, that was the first one in The Chosen, right? Like, you're going through. And it's like, I have to look back at, like, I know they take liberties with some stuff.
Yeah.
But they still have a lot of fact in those liberties. You know, but I did. I looked it up, and, you know, they list him in Matthew, and I know they list him in other spots, but, yeah, he's first, and Judas is obviously always last, and that there's reasons for that.
Yeah.
But I feel like we all know. You know, but it's purposeful. And I could see that with the way that Peter is. I feel like he could just kind of go out and talk to anybody, because everybody's going to – some people are going to undermine him just because they're going to assume he doesn't know anything because he's this –
Fisherman. Yeah, but he also takes command, I think, too. So he's very vocal, and it's not wishy-washy. What he says is what he says and what he believes. He jumps the gun, but I guess what I would think of Peter, I think of the alpha male.
Well, I think of that, like, head fisherman guy. The one who's telling them all how to do it. Throw the net over there. I'm going to go over this way. And you're doing, you know, like, he's directive. So why wouldn't he be in charge?
Yeah.
So he's going to, and who knows? We obviously also don't know all the side conversations that he and Jesus and the other disciples had. And maybe it was just a natural thing for him, like you said, to be that alpha male, that director, that, that head guy who just, I may not know what I'm talking about, but I know what we're doing. Let's go.
Right, exactly. Just trust me.
Let's go.
And, you know, he was present for all the big things. Seems like, you know, he was always there in the forefront.
Yeah.
He might not always got it right, but he was there.
Peter's story, too, you know, just how he's portrayed in the Gospels. First of all, we know so much about him because there is so much written about him, and it shows his personality and his drive, his passions. You know, it shows how devoted he was to Jesus. But I think it also gives us a great view of God's grace, because Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times. But yet, Jesus knew he also was going to turn right back around. And that's why he was, you know, he knew he could say, you are the rock of which I'm going to build my church, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are this. And so he knew that when he, even though he was going to deny him 3 times, he was going to come back that much stronger. And just, no pun intended, but like, rock it out, right?
And that he did.
But it's also what he was called to be, was to be that rock and that yep. foundation. Because he was that solid guy. He was that alpha guy who could handle when someone didn't like what he was saying and move on from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Paul sometimes goes, oh, but if only if I'm not offending you, here's the truth. Depending on it. Then as he got in prison more, then he became stronger. Right? like his first writings are a little bit like, oh, whatever. I mean, he was firm, but.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why the difference, and I know I don't want to jump to 2 Peter, but you can tell that Peter matured because 2 Peter reads so differently than 1 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they assume that 1 Peter was right around 64 AD because it was before the Rome burning, because he doesn't mention it at all. Nothing's even talked about. But then 2 Peter, they're thinking that's about 4 years later, right before, like, the year that he died, like the year that Nero killed him or had him killed.
And he knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did.
He mentions it.
You know, and so I didn't.
The writing was on the wall.
Yeah. So Peter's name actually means, in Aramaic, it means rock. Like, it's Kephas. Kephas? Kephas. Which means rock. And then, you know, Jesus renamed him Peter, which would be Petros, which still also means rock. I heard somebody call it a pebble, and I'm like, oh, I really hope it doesn't mean pebble. You know, I feel like rock
pretty
is.
Sure, it's not pebble.
I'm pretty sure it's not, because I'm like, I've only heard that once. So
it just kind of doesn't make sense.
No, I'm like, I'm so sad. Poor Peter. All right, so again, so we figured this 1 Peter is written right around 64 AD, and he is in what's like Asia Minor, which is now modern day Turkey. So I'll go ahead and we'll just start it off, and I'm going to read chapter 1. Greetings from Peter. This letter is from Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach and change and decay. Beyond the reach of change and decay, excuse me. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for you all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that faith is genuine, and it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about his gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or the situation of the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their message were not for themselves, but for you. And now the good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better than this, but now you must be holy in everything that you do. Just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as here is temporary residence. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And that it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in the last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all of your heart, for you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As scriptures say, people are like grass. Excuse me. Their beauty is like the flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. I knew I loved this book, but like when you're looking at it and every time you read it, there's something else. Like I have like three different colors or three or four different colors throughout First Peter of highlights because it was just different times that I was, you know, that I was doing this and reading it.
Well, I think, and things hit you differently each time you read it too. That's the other part. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, I reviewed it, listened to it while I was driving home today, just so I could hear it one more time after reading it a couple times over the weekend and other time, you know, and other times I've done it. And I was like, oh, wait, what did he just say? Something new today, you know, picked up when I was listening, especially when we get later into First Peter. For me, it's that section, and I don't want to skip ahead, but that section that really speaks to me the most in First Peter 1 is that call to holy living, that kind of 13, so when we get there, I'll speak to that, but jumping ahead.
No, that's what we do best. It's so hard. I feel like that just shows how excited we get because there's just so much that you can see. A lot of pastors, preachers will always preach on the whole be joyous in your suffering, and nobody wants to be joyous in their suffering, you know, nobody, you know. And I know we've talked about it before because he's not the first to say it, though, that we've looked at. He might have been the first in succession, but he's not the first that we've looked at that says no, James is first. And nobody wants to go through the suffering, but mm-hmm. I love that at least he's pointing out, you understand that that's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
You're suffering in Christ's name. That's a good thing. That means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are on the right track. And he has to say that because they are being persecuted by Rome. You know, it hasn't gotten to that really, we haven't gotten to the complete dark days yet, you know, because it's pre-burning right now, but it's still like, they're not. Right now, Christianity was just a sect, right? A sect of Judaism is how it was viewed. Which was just the weird section of Judaism, right? The ones that are they are cannibals because they do the communion, right? Like the ones that believe that dude rose from the grave himself. You know, just the
they didn't have a good rep.
Right. No, they were the crazy ones. They were like the hippies of, of Judaism, you know, the ones that are a little bit out there. Excuse me. You know, but again, he's talking about, I love that he says in verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him.
Yep.
And you don't see him now, but you still have faith. Like, you're still following him.
I think that's one of the harder questions to ask and to answer as a question, or as a Christian, is so many people who don't believe or don't quite know what it's all about always say, well, you've never seen this person. You don't know anything about him. You've never, like, touched him, talked to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, I talk to him every day. But the truth is, because I haven't seen, I do know him. I have this faith.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to explain without them. I mean, even because sometimes we don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say having, you know, faith is very hard to explain because it's believing what God says is true.
Yeah.
I know our pastor is preached on it quite a few times. And every time it's just kind of mind blown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do believe that even though that we've never obviously had the opportunity to literally follow Christ in his footsteps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't go to these cities with him. We weren't part of the elite. We didn't ever hear him preach. But I think that's partly why the Holy Spirit got to stay with us.
Yeah.
It's because now we still have that connection. So we have the feeling that he's sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're just, you know, you can talk to him and you know that he's there and you can see him in the things that he does and that he's done in your life, you know, and you have that ability to discern because you have that Holy Spirit in you. Whereas they didn't.
Yeah.
To begin with, obviously.
Yeah. I was watching this interview either this morning or yesterday or last night with a gentleman from either Madeira or Clearwater Beach in Florida who stayed at their place during hurricane, right? And he lost his entire, he owns a business. I want to say it's Madeira, but anyway, doesn't matter. But he lost everything. He lost his ovens, his fridge, everything, furniture. It's just all destroyed. He goes, but my house above the restaurant, I could still live in it. And he just listed all these blessings that he still had in the midst of complete financial devastation for his business and his livelihood, right? But he said, because I know that the Lord is going to bless me richly, because he already has. I'm here today. My family's okay. Yes, we have a big hill to climb. But I was in tears watching this, because it's just such a beautiful testament to what faith is and what we all hope we are in those really, really hard moments and those really, really good moments, like all of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what talks to people the most is our testimonies, seeing testimonies like that and how we react to situations like that. That's what brings people to God, you know?
Agreed. Because it's real.
Yeah.
It's as real as we can get on earth without him being right here next to us, giving us a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which sometimes that would be really nice.
Really nice.
But then I can also see myself being like, you know, listening to his teaching and being like, oh, can we slow down, do this tomorrow? Information overload.
Yeah.
A little too much right now.
I think it's also good to point out that he's bringing the Gentiles in. So he's like, you guys are who the prophets were talking about. You know, you are also in the scriptures, right? Like, your life is in the scriptures. So it's like he's bringing them in, as considering they were, you know, outsiders, you know, since Genesis, right? They were always on the outside. They weren't God's chosen people. And now he's like, you are. Everybody is God's chosen people. So it's just, he wants you to choose him back.
Yeah. He wants you to know all that he's given and done and how much he loves you. And
Peter's like a roadmap too. Like, this is the way you should live your life. Yeah, you're going through these hard times and this is going on, but look at the hope that you have.
that constant reminder to don't go back to the things you used to do or the ways you used to do things. Stick with this path. This is the good one. This is the one that's going to help you go forward, right?
Mm-hmm. And how to live that abundant life, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, you're saved. Yes, you know what's going to happen at the end, but it could be so much more.
Well, now's your time to shine, Leslie. What's you wanted to talk about? A call to the holy living. Bring it.
Well, I just the thing I love most about this, the whole, like, it's this verses 13 to, I don't know, I guess the end, but it's that preparation. Like, get ready, do your homework, do the hard work to know what I've told you, what I've taught you, what I've said, what the Lord's shown us, mm-hmm. And then go be His children. Be obedient, but be His children and shine His light. And you know how to do it. I'm teaching you. Go, and then go do it.
I like how you said that, Leslie, because it is, it's, you know, He laid down His life for us. He saved us, but we have our part too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You can't have one without the other. I mean, and that's how God designed it.
Yeah.
Is that it's not just about that He sent His son. That's obviously huge. We are so blessed that He sent His son. But it's also about that He sent His son so that the work would continue and go forward, even when His son had to make that ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that's, I just think it's almost like when we did James too, and James was like, are you going to put up or shut up? Like, Peter's like, come on. You have all these, Paul's been here. This guy's been here. I mean, like, we've all been here. Mm-hmm. We've all been teaching you because we got taught by Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with it? Go live this life. Go live the life He's put before us. And it feels a little bit like James yelling at us again. So.
I should like it on record that I maybe just said that James was before Peter, but I didn't bring up. I didn't bring up Peter.
Leslie did.
Wasn't me.
You're welcome.
I always get in trouble. Like, you always talk about James. It's like, because it's a great book, okay?
I'm sorry. If you don't like the book of James, we can't be friends. That's just a blanket statement to any listeners right now.
No. Yep. Okay. There's a one stipulation why you can't sit with us. Just saying.
I'm not saying it has to be your favorite. I'm just saying you got to understand that James is like, okay, anyway, moving on.
17 is my favorite out of this section. Because I love, and I read it out of the NLT on purpose because it doesn't read the same in the Christian Standard. I tried, you know, I read them and I have them both sitting in front of me right now, and I try to write the same notes in both because I like to, I'm a note taker, but you know, 17 says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge you. He will judge and reward you according to what you do. And I'm like, yes. Can we put that on every church door? Thank you very much. You know, I mean, so many people, and I mean, I'm not saying that we don't sit here and go, ooh, whew, you know, I'm glad that's not me. But yet there's things that I do. I watched a thing today and I love the way this man said it. And it'll end up being on the Instagram for the mustard seed. Cause the way he was saying it, he's like, oh, well, you see her going to the liquor store, but yet you're out here cussing like a sailor. There's no difference.
Yeah.
He's like, you see them doing a sexual immorality and you're over here judging them. There is no difference. You know, it's that he's like, he's like, you guys are all like, well, when did my gossiping get on the same level as sexual immorality? He goes, right here. And he point, you know, this is where Jesus told us not to do that, in the same breath that he told us not to be. Like how to live. Like, he's telling you this is one level playing field.
Yeah.
There are no differences.
Yeah. There's no, that sin's worse than my sin.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And And one little thought of anger or anything like that is enough to put us in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's definitely we're not here to judge.
Mm-mm.
Because what we
Who
deserve.
Are we? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, that'll preach. That'll preach right there. I mean, that's.
Yep.
But so many people forget about that verse. And I know you can't cherry pick verses, right? I understand you can't. And, you know, I've heard many pastors warn against that. Do not listen to a pastor who's just cherry picking throughout the whole Bible just to make their point.
Yeah.
So you have to understand what the context of that verses are to make sure they actually are supposed to be together.
Yeah.
Right. And because there's things that are, you know, there's things in Peter that go with James, right? Or that go with Isaiah.
Yeah.
Or that go, you know, and you're going all the way back, you know, Jeremiah, you have stuff that coincides that shows that this is one big story. And then, you know, there's a difference in doing that than saying, well, here God said this about this and God said this about women and God said this about children and slaves. You know, you're going through, you can't cherry pick it because you need to understand when was this, who was this written to? Like what letter was this or what, you know.
What was the context?
Yeah, but so I understand that you can't do that, but this verse itself, I don't feel like you can cherry pick it. I mean, it's just.
Well, it stands alone. It does. It's kind of almost to the heart of what Peter's trying to say here. Mm-hmm.
And even still, he goes on to say, so you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. And, you know, he's not talking about your daddy's going to beat you because you acted out of turn. He's talking about, again, that respect of the Lord, the fear of God, because you don't want to fail him. He's not, you know, you don't want to end up where sinners who don't repent end up, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And, but yet you need, you know, you still need to, you just need to have that respect and that love for the Lord to understand that that's not who you want to be.
Yeah. And I think you really nailed it on the head there. You know, it's fear of disappointing him, you know, and that's when you know the Holy Spirit is really moving in you and you are growing towards God. Because it's not, I got saved, so I know where I'm going, but so I can go ahead and do this. But I can, you know, I can ask for forgiveness for that. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it's not a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
I like that, though. Well, I mean, but that's what people want. They want it to be like you said, pick your own verse, pick your own idea of being saved, pick your own idea of what you can and can't do, YOLO, you know, all those things. And it's definitely not what the Lord is showing us or telling us at all.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, they'll say, and I get stuck and I have to, like I said, I have to delete Facebook a lot of times and Instagram throughout the week or else I sit there and I find myself doing that. And in the evening, instead of, you know, reading one of the million books I have on my shelf that need to be read, or they don't need it, but, you know, they called to me from the bookstore and I rescued them and I brought them home and they've just been sitting there since.
You're a good person.
You know, but, you know, they talked about this society and how it's, they say how it's harder to be sometimes a Christian in this world right now because everybody's just saying, oh no, you're perfect just the way you are, you're amazing, you're, you know, you don't have to change, you don't need to strive to be better, you don't need to, you know, you are who you are. And there is truth in that. There is 100% truth in that. I believe everybody is worthy, but it's not you, you know, it's God knows you're worthy. God knows that you're worth it. You know, he made you, he knows your quirks. He knows the ones that you should work on and he knows the ones that are just you. But no matter what, you know, your thoughts, your actions, he loves you.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as we understand who's giving us the worth and who's giving us that security. Because I struggle with self-identity issues. I don't like me a lot of times, whether that's physical or if that's mental mm-hmm. or whatever, but I got to understand that just because I don't like me, even though the world's telling me I'm fine, I got to understand that it doesn't matter what they say either. I got to listen to who God says I am.
Yeah.
You know, and what God's called me to do. And I got to pay attention to when you're underneath that spiritual attack and try to make sure that you can recognize what you're in the middle of and get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was very well said. Well,
thank you. That's been my month. That's been my month. So.
Yeah, I think sometimes too we get, especially in today's society, we forget that we are supposed to have that fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I hear of, well, God didn't do this for me. God hasn't done this for me. And it's, you know, like you said, God knows us. He loves us. He's called us for a reason. But we're not here for God to do something for us. We're mm-hmm. here to serve Him. And I think that gets lost sometimes.
It does.
I mean, he's not doing it for me.
He did it for you, but he's, you know, yeah. just not for you. How about that? I was trying to word that right. Like, it wasn't just for you.
You know? You got salvation, girl, but maybe not a million bucks. All right. Shall we move on to chapter 2? So put away all malice and deceit and all hypocrisy.
That's a hard.
Everything's hard for me. And envy and our slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up until salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you, and out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see that your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it's to the emperor as supreme, or to the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of the foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when a mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is the gracious thing in the sight of God. For this you have come and called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting him to him who judge justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. but his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like a sheep, but you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
So one of the sermons I listened to on First Peter, after I'd gone through it on my own and I wanted to hear somebody else talk about it, he called this the, like, in verse one, the be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. He called that spiritual junk food. So it, you know, because it's keeping you, it's filling you up and keeping you away from the good stuff, right? Like the nourishment, the, as you know, he's like, by the gourmet food, right? The food that you just can't get enough of, but yet you fill up on crappy appetizers,
you
know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I liked that analogy, because first of all, I like food, so.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
It preached to me this morning, so.
I think we can... move on. No, I'm just kidding.
It's
true.
But you know, I think this is also how the devil works, mm-hmm. trying to separate us or not having that abundant life is through these things, because that's our human nature, mm-hmm. to feel this stuff, to feel malice, to feel deceit, to envy.
Our distraction. He's doing that as a distraction to keep us from looking to God for that fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we can so easily seek those other things to fill the voids that we feel, like, oh, I didn't get included, or I didn't get this, or I didn't get that, and God goes, no, remember, look at all this I've given you, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. We're included in the most important thing.
Yeah.
But that just doesn't seem like enough sometimes. And that's when we are being deceived.
Yep.
When I read verse 8, well, the second half of verse 8 on my own, early in the morning, my mind just kind of took it away, but it said they stumble because they don't obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. I read it as they stumble because they don't obey God's word, and so they don't meet the face that was planned for them. So in my head I was like, well, they don't get to meet Jesus, you know, they don't get to stand at his throne and, you know, worship him. They don't get that. And I'm like, and obviously that's not what it said. When I read it back through the second time, I was like, oh wait, that's not what that says. But I still wrote it down, because I was like, I felt like, and I just, no matter what, it's the same meaning. It's just was said, like, the way I read it first just said it differently.
But that's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it says it at. And I know I can't quote it very well or even paraphrase it very well. But to me, like, the scariest thing is when it says, Jesus says, you know, you didn't know me, so I don't know you.
Yep.
I mean, that would just, oh, I get an image in my head and it's just horrifying for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying to think that he looks at you, I never knew you.
Yeah.
Who are you? You know, and it's like, well, shoot, you know. I don't ever want to be that person on, like, us being here. I don't ever want to be that one that leads somebody astray to the point where is like, you didn't do what I was telling you to do. I don't, get away from me. I don't know who you are.
Oh, yeah. That is very scary.
It's scary, yeah. I think the hardest part is, because, I mean, this is a conversation that my friend Seth and I have all the time, because he's our interim pastor right now as we're going through stuff. Because he's new to it. He's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, and I know you don't want to. I said, I don't, but we also have to again, it goes back to this go forward in faith thing, right? Because you've been given this opportunity to be a living stone, and you know, Jesus is that capstone, that cornerstone that holds us all together, right? That I love that image of the cornerstone or the capstone of a building, right? The thing that if that stone goes away, everything crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if we are doing our very best, we are going to stumble, and the rock might break, and it might chip away, it might happen this way. But if we're doing our very best, we just have to keep going forward in faith, knowing that He's giving us the words at the right moment, and He's helping direct our. If we're giving it to Him, obviously mm-hmm. That's our activity part. That's our active part. But if we're honestly going forward in faith and trying to be those living stones that He's called us to be, we will stumble. We'll say something wrong once. We've done it before. I'll do it again. But then I'll just go, okay, I messed up. Let's talk about that again.
I know a lot of it is partly in spiritual growth. You know, some of it is growth. Like we might say something now that in 10 years we're like, holy crap, we didn't fully even understand that. Like we were just barely scraping the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And now we understand that there's a deeper meaning. And I think that's the whole point too. There is a point. So it's just a matter of like you said, it's if we know where the words are coming from, if we know that, you know, first of all, I feel like we always say there is a disclaimer, like this is our thoughts on this. Like this isn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is, and I'm sure there's flaws in our theology, you know, because we are flawed humans trying to understand an unflawed God,
yeah.
you know, and it's going to speak to me different than it speaks to both of you
mm-hmm.
and different than it speaks to anybody yep. that listens. You know, it's, there are things that are going to hit home for me that aren't going to hit home for you. And
yeah.
it's all about just making sure you're not being the teacher that James warned against, you know, the one that's just looking for fame and glory and stuff. Like I just want to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in a way that glorifies God and is bringing people to Him.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, you know, I feel like we all are on the same page in making sure that Christians, we are the Christians that we know we need to be, that society isn't showing. You know, they're only showing the ones that are doing the judging and not doing mm-hmm. the loving. And that's yeah. why Christianity has a bad rap. It's like, I want to be out there and show the world that this is what Christianity is. It's three girls sitting around a table talking about God's word and His love and sharing it with anybody that'll listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being real to the point of, I do make mistakes every day. I get upset about things or people or mm-hmm. politics or situations, and it clouds my judgment momentarily about something I just read that morning, right? Even though I know the direction I'm supposed to be going that day, for that moment or that whatever, I lose focus. But because of everything He's done for me, He also helps me to come right back around to being that person I'm supposed to be, and that I want to be, not just because He told me to, but because it also, I know it's not necessarily the great Christian thing, it feels right. It does feel right in every sense of the word feel, not just an emotion,
mm-hmm.
but your day goes better, your week goes better, when you've had that time to focus and be who He's called you to be,
mm-hmm.
His chosen priesthood, His royal, you know, I mean, to be His living stones, His children. I mean, what terms do you want to use? All of them, right? Yeah. But to be who He's called us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes those stumbling blocks, those things in your day that's just like, oh, this is the worst day ever. It's nothing, you know, it's, well, I'll just have to step over this and keep on going.
No, Peter is getting into the part two where it was setting Christians apart, right? You're setting another black mark on their credibility. Is he's explaining, and he's going to start explaining it even further in, you know, chapter 3, you're putting the same people on the same like all the different types of slaves, husbands, wives. So slaves, men, women, all on the same mm-hmm. level, which was unheard of in that society. Yeah. But it's something I feel like that God's preached since day one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you see it in Jesus' ministry of who mm-hmm. the apostles were, you know, who was with him. It wasn't just, you know, men there. He had a following of women, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the first ones to see him. That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes back to when we do our Women of the Bible stuff. Like, he held women in high esteem because it's not just, I mean, we're all here to be his children, all here to tell his story, all here to be his light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all have our own rose. It's not the same rose. Yep. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all this yep. on the same level.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to end the episode for this portion of 1 Peter here. We know we didn't finish all of 1 Peter, only getting through chapter 2, but we try when possible to keep our episodes less than an hour because we know how hard it is to fit in time for ourselves. So whether that's, you know, listening to podcasts or reading books, sometimes we don't have an hour to give. Or more, and we don't want to make you guys stop the episode multiple times just so that way you guys can finish it throughout days, or at least if that's not the goal, if that's not something that you like to do. So what we're going to do is, like I said, we're going to end it here, and then in 2 weeks we're going to go ahead and we'll start up literally right where we just stopped, and then we'll finish up 1 Peter and go through chapter 3, 4, and 5. So we look forward to sitting down with you and continuing the talk on Peter. He is such an interesting book of the Bible, and we're loving digging into it, obviously, considering we can't seem to keep this underneath a good time. But we didn't want to cut out anything that gets to show you guys a little bit into who we are and how we interact, even just without the podcast. So you guys got a little glimpse of that. So I apologize that I know we didn't dig in as much as we could into 1 Peter, but I promise you the next episode will be just as great. And then we're going to follow that up even with going through 2 Peter. So we look forward to sitting around this table again with you here in 2 weeks and finishing up 1 Peter. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.